Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm joined by Dan Hodges from The Mail on Sunday, as well as Paul Goodman from The Conservative Home and Katie Balls. It's the Saturday edition, and today we'll be talking about whether or not there's a chance of an early autumn election. Now, Katie, you write in this week's Spectator that there is a good chance of that. Tell us about your thinking.
So I've noticed in probably the past week that a few of perhaps the lagging campaign teams have resorted to gallows humour. So one of the things they've been saying to each other is, well, we might not win this time, but don't worry, because we're going to see each other again in November. And one aide says, we're using this leadership campaign as a test run when the whole thing collapses in the autumn. Now, I think that if we are talking about a November leadership contest, the idea is that this is perhaps not for the role of Prime Minister. Instead, this time it would be for the leader of the opposition. Because when you speak to various candidates, the thinking is whoever wins this leadership contest has a very tough job. They have to try and deal with the Brexit deadline at the end of October. And I think given that Boris Johnson is currently the favourite, it does seem like as though whoever is picked to be the next Prime Minister is going to set a hard red line deadline that the UK has to be out of the EU by the end of October. Now, with all the various forces that they have to deal with, so for example, if you want to renegotiate the deal, as every candidate currently in the race has said they want to do, how much time do you have? If the contest really ends at the end of July, you don't have time in terms of when the EU leaders are back from their summer holidays. So at Cabinet this week, Gavin Barwell suggested there were just 24 sitting days of Parliament to get a withdrawal agreement or some other form of Brexit deal through. Number 10's most optimistic target when they were trying to get their failed withdrawal agreement through was 7 weeks. And I think it just touches on this idea that it's hard to see how the renegotiation would work in time. Now, plenty of people say this is just pessimism. And then secondly, does that mean if Parliament tries to block a no-deal Brexit, because that's your other option, and we've seen that we have an activist speaker in John Bercow, so lots of Brexiteers point to this Institute for Government report, which says Parliament would struggle to stop a no-deal, but there are plenty of Conservative MPs and Labour MPs alike who think John Bercow would manage to come up with something. So say Parliament to stop the next Brexiteer Prime Minister from delivering a no-deal Brexit at the end of October, and they also couldn't renegotiate the deal in time, what happens then? You could end up with a general election, whether that is through a confidence vote or through the Prime Minister themselves calling it so they can actually deliver.
So Paul, do you think that the early general election is more likely than not?
The most likely route to avoid an early election, and it may not necessarily work, is another extension. This is something that Michael Gove spotted very early in the leadership campaign, and various other people are now catching up with. I think Boris Johnson, the principle has to be very simple, which is you can never absolutely pin him down, right? So he may say now, indeed, he's been on camera saying explicitly, we will leave on October the 31st. Am I sure I believe him? No, because he's got form. So I could see in some way the extension vote being pushed out. But it's possible that if he tries, and remember, you know, the executive's got a certain amount of room for manoeuvre with extension, it is possible, though, you know, by my name is certain, that at that point the Labour Party and the Tory second referendum people and the so-called Spartans could bring him down. I mean, you know, the government's now vulnerable to a no-confidence vote in all sorts of circumstances. I think extension is the most likely route out of this, but it's by no means certain it's available.
But even if he does go for an extension, Dan, as Paul, as you say, the rest of Parliament will probably bring him down. I mean, the ERG lot were very, very certain that he's promised them no deal.
Yes, I mean, there is the prospect of him facing a no-confidence vote. I'm still a little bit sceptical about whether even the Spartans of the ERG would go so far as to actually bring down their own government. But the reality is there is a much more important constituency in play in this whole debate now, which isn't either side of the parliamentary debate. It's that large block of former Conservative voters who have defected to the Brexit Party. And the reason why Boris Johnson is about to be elected leader of the Conservative Party and our next Prime Minister is Conservative MPs have made the calculation. He is the only person who can bring that block of disaffected supporters back to the Tory fold. And if his first act as Prime Minister, and it would literally have to be almost his first act as Prime Minister, having spent a month, as he's about to do, parading around the country, saying every Conservative hustings, at every media opportunity, limited though those media opportunities will be, that he that leaving October 31st is a red line for him.
Delay means defeat.
If he were to turn round, then his premiership would effectively be dead on arrival. Because what people are looking for and what Conservative MPs are desperate for is to elect a Prime Minister who can at least demonstrate they are starting to turn around their political fortunes. And far from doing that, if Boris did that, he would make the May betrayal look like a hill of beans. I mean, it would be a political betrayal of a scale that we hadn't seen before. And the idea that Boris, I've heard it from a couple of MPs, oh, Boris is Boris. Boris could not Boris himself out of that. So that October 31st is an absolute red line that he politically can't cross.
And I think it was interesting at Boris Johnson's leadership launch this week, in the Q&A where he took six questions, which has been very well documented, he was asked if he would resign if he missed that deadline, if the UK was still in the EU at the end of October. And he didn't answer the question. So he does have, I wouldn't call it space, but he didn't promise to resign on that. I do think, though, what this comes down to is a calculation which Dan has touched on, and as Paul has written about, there is this great, almost, there's this elephant in the room in this Tory leadership contest, which is that every candidate will say they don't want an early election and no one will entertain the possibility, yet it looks more and more likely. And one of the reasons it does look likely is speaking to ministers this week about the prospect and saying, well, Boris Johnson's strategy could lead to this because you have such a red line. One minister said to me, well, what's the alternative really? If you can't renegotiate with Brussels and it's the choice between going to a general election to try get a no deal mandate or to change the arithmetic of the Commons or extending. The latter is simply, they said, death by a thousand cuts. They said simply extending to avoid an election would be, at this moment, in their eyes, actually worse than just going to the polls, because you are isolating your base. You've seen that the Tory grassroots would start to move closer to the Brexit Party. So I think there's now just this new calculation in lots of Conservative MPs' minds that even if it means staying in power for another 6 months, year, the damage it might do by extending and not being able to change the Brexit situation could be worse.
However, they undoubtedly don't want an election. I think it's true that Tory MPs have finally come around to thinking there will probably be one. If they didn't think that, they wouldn't be voting for Boris Johnson in these numbers. And the fact is, there were 74 under by our numbers, which are kind of roughly in the ballpark. Yesterday morning, Boris Johnson got 30 of them. And the reason isn't because these additional voters love him. It's because they think he provides the best opportunity, the best chance of winning an election if it happens. But I guess return to my point that with Boris, I do think you never quite know. And the fact that he didn't answer that question at the press conference is emblematic of what he does. In his campaign video, he goes to Peterborough and he's asked by a voter, will we be out on October 3rd? Sure. Right, when he's really under pressure from our media colleagues, you don't get so clear an answer. I don't think he knows.
But I think I actually thought that was one of the most significant moments of the campaign, when they released that video with him having that conversation with the voter, because it was their campaign video. They didn't need to show it. And the fact that Boris is now on tape saying, not saying at hustings and not standing at the dispatch box, saying to the cynical political elite, but actually saying to an ordinary person in the street, you can trust me. You trust me on this. I'm going to take us out on the 31st. There is no route back for him from that commitment unless he wants to call political disaster.
Katie, could part of the calculation of Boris bigging up the 31st of October deadline be to bluff with the EU, to really say to EU leaders, I will actually take us out with no deal unless you change my deal?
Well, Boris Johnson has repeatedly said that he doesn't want no deal. He repeatedly says that he thinks no deal is very unlikely because in the time available, he'd be able to ditch the backstop completely, perhaps hold back some of the money and make these changes. When he talks about a no deal Brexit, he says that you have to prepare in order to be the responsible person. So I do suspect a Boris Johnson government would look very active with their no deal ports and all these things going on to show they were getting close to it. The question is, does what happens in the Commons in that time contradict the message of no deal preparations? Now, lots of people thought that Theresa May, accompanied by Philip Hammond, undermined the no deal preparations because of the amounts of money not even the amounts of money given to it, but in a sense, when that money was available. And there was a sense that that was holding it back. So I suspect for someone like Boris Johnson in number 10, it would be very different. But will Brussels look at Parliament and think this is actually going to happen? They might believe Boris Johnson is going to try and make it happen, but they might also believe that all these MPs can get together. And we did see this week what I think has helped people like Boris Johnson in the leadership contest, because we had an opposition day debate, which was aimed at having a vote to stopping MPs from proroguing Parliament, and that vote failed. Now, I don't think that means that the Commons aren't going to try and stop no deal again. I think some were just keeping their powder dry. I think also anything that is specifically led by Jeremy Corbyn is a much different bet for lots of MPs than something that looks like a cross-party effort, perhaps with what they see as the sensible Labour backbenchers. So I don't think their threat is gone. I guess the question is, do people believe that with John Bercow as Speaker, Boris Johnson would actually be able to deliver a no-deal Brexit?
Paul?
It's a very good question, because it's constitutionally and politically obscure. But on the evidence we've got to date, there's a strong reason why people think a general election is likely, and it's because this House of Commons won't agree anything. It's thrown May's deal out three times, it's against no deal, and it's also not prepared yet to do no Brexit. It's not been prepared in principle to vote for a second referendum. It has thrown everything out. So the logic of the situation is, why should this change just because Boris Johnson or whoever becomes Prime Minister? Hence the driving force for an early election. And why, I've been arguing on Calm Home for a while, this is more likely than not. Hence Boris Johnson's strong position at the top of the poll.
So do you think he could call a general election himself then in order to shake things up?
It's difficult to call a general election because of the Fixed Terms Act. Now, it's not an imponderable obstacle. I mean, Theresa May managed to get one in 2016 and, you know, overcome the terms of the Act. But it's quite difficult if sections of the Commons don't want it. I mean, Labour will have to vote, you know, and it might be different at the margins for some Labour MPs who don't want Corbyn. They would have to vote for an early election. I think the problem will be persuading some other bits of the House to do it. It's more likely that one comes about the other way, which is by the sheer logic of you can't get anything through, right? Including no deal, because of Bercow using SO24 or finding some procedural device no one's thought of. And you can't get a second referendum because it would need a bill. The Commons is in no state at the moment to pass a second referendum bill.
And there's also the sense that even if you manage to get to a no-deal Brexit, so we get to the 4th of November, the UK has left the EU, do we then expect, I suppose, MPs, and perhaps MPs like Amber Rudd would, but do we expect all the Conservative MPs who are sceptical of a no-deal Brexit and have been for several years to suddenly vote for lots of measures to make it easier to get behind this government as they try and do it? Now, I suspect some would feel the personal duty and responsibility that they had to make the best of that situation, but I think a lot of MPs would want to make it as hostile environment as possible for this no-deal government and try and bring it down to stop it.
But there's also another very important political calculation the Conservative Party has to make, which is, I mean, I think we are heading towards no-deal now. I think the politics of the moment dictates that. But the fundamental question is, what is in the best interest of the Conservative Party? Is it to have a general election before no-deal and secure a mandate from the country for no-deal? Or is it to have a general election after no deal has occurred? Now, obviously, we're getting slightly contentious territory here, but about sort of project fear, etc., etc. Every cabinet minister and every minister I have spoken to, regardless of where they sit on the sort of spectrum of the Brexit debate, tells me that there will be a significant short-term negative economic, service-led social impact from a no-deal Brexit. That is unavoidable. We can debate the scale of it, but that is almost inevitable. And the question for the Conservative Party, again, it comes back to this thing. Does Boris Johnson, as the new Prime Minister, want his first act to be something to take us out, which then has a potentially significant negative short-term economic impact, social impact, have that define him, potentially define his premiership, potentially define Brexit, and potentially define the Conservative Party's management of Brexit, and then have to go to the country? Or is it better for him and the Conservative Party to at least get a mandate for the country for no deal, and then given a further 5 years for the impacts of that to be felt and mitigated? And if I was him and I was a Conservative planner, I would be very, very scared indeed about the idea of having a post no deal Brexit election. Mm. I think if they're going to go for no deal, and I think they're going to have to, I think he has to secure a mandate from the British people before he does that.
Paul, would it be Boris Johnson who leads the Conservative Party into that election? And if so, do you think he could win it against Corbyn?
It'd be a very difficult election because nobody really knows where the votes could go. Could he do it? Jeremy Hunt seems convinced no one could. And I think it's a very interesting paradox about the whole business. But I think if you stand back from the British political scene, right, over the last few years, rise of UKIP, collapse of UKIP, dominance of David Cameron, disappearance of David Cameron overnight, the conventional view that Jeremy Corbyn can't do well in a general election, he actually turns out to do pretty well indeed on the percentage of the vote. I don't think we would know what would happen in an election. And I think, coming back to what Dan said, the moment of danger for Boris, if he wants to do no deal, is immediately before he does it. That's when Hammond, Gawke, Clark, Amber Rudd, and the rest of them, that's when, if they're really determined to block the legislation, they can do it. Right. And that's when it comes to the test. If it just suddenly happens, right, Burko's not capable of blocking it, or, and I think this is very unlikely, the EU throw us up. They've just suddenly decide they've had enough of the whole thing. Actually, once it's happened, I just wonder if the Tory revolt would really be there. Mm. I noticed this morning Rory Stewart, who yesterday was putting the boot into Boris Johnson, I could possibly serve under him. I will lead MPs out of the Commons to protest and form a little assembly of my own. This morning, actually, of course, if no deal has happened, it would be my national duty to step up, and so, because he's worked out it could happen, and does he want to literally be the steward over the water in this case, if there's a Boris premiership, if there's not an election, and if no deal happens? And he's come to the conclusion he wants to keep his options open.
I think one of the reasons that Boris Johnson is winning so much support from MPs outside of perhaps the ones that you would initially predicted is because people do sense that an early election could be coming, and they sense that, as has been pointed out many times, it'd be very difficult to see how the Tories would necessarily win a majority in that. But were they to try anyone, I think they think that Boris Johnson would have the best chance of winning that election. And they repeatedly say, as Boris Johnson has said himself, that he could put Nigel Farage back in his box. He could take Corbyn on. They look to London now. I think that Boris Johnson, he was mayor of London, is perceived at least in a very different way to the Boris Johnson now. But I think it is the sense that he could be an election winner that's actually helping him a lot in this, because the situation has become so grave.
And Dan, one last question for you. For our Remainer listeners, was the possibility of a second referendum? Could Boris say, OK, well, if you're not going to let me have no deal, then let's have a second referendum. Leavers, just vote again. We'll tell them again how much we want Brexit.
I mean, he could do, indeed, there have been several rumours throughout the campaign that Boris has privately been giving some people within the Parliamentary Conservative Party a nod and a wink that he may be tempted to move in that direction. Although I have to say, whenever any of us have explored that, his campaign have been absolutely adamant that's not where he sits. I think the danger is with that is the betrayal narrative. Mm. It's a couple of things. If you have a referendum and Remain were to win the referendum, then that would be the end of the Conservative Party. So, I mean, that is incredibly, incredibly high stakes. There is no way back for the Conservative Party in those circumstances. And the other question is, if Boris was contemplating that, can he get through the next 5 weeks without, opening the door to that? And if he does open the door to that, I think you would see a reaction from the Conservative Party membership, and again, crucially, a reaction from that block of former Tory voters who have defected to the Brexit Party. Because here's the one thing that we actually don't know. I mean, we've seen there was one, I think was it this week, Comrades poll, which showed a significant shift to Boris from the Brexit Party voters if he were to be Prime Minister. But that's only one poll, and that's not really been reflected in many of the other polls. And you know, we are all assuming that Boris is the magic weapon. You know, that Boris wins, and at that point, Brexit Party voters flock back to the Tory standard. I'm not entirely sure that is how things are going to play out. I think Boris is going to have to go a long way to convince people that those party supporters, in their minds, that the betrayals of the May years are now behind them. And any suggestion at all that Boris was flirting with the idea of a referendum, I think would be very, very damaging.
Just on a referendum, I would say when I shared the One Nation hustings, all the candidates were asked the same questions. So I asked Boris Johnson about early election. He said he really didn't want an early election. It was very similar. But on the second referendum, he did rule it out in very specific terms. Now, I know we said that Boris Johnson can go back on his word, but it is interesting, I thought, how, for example, he didn't answer the resignation question at a press conference. But on second referendum, as I say in the column this week, he just said it was anti-democratic. He wouldn't want to see that country go through that again. I think he complained that Amber Rudd wouldn't get into a car with him for a year or so to illustrate the personal sacrifice it had cost him. So if I was to take any reading from that, I did get the impression that that was probably further down his list than the other options.
There's a solid reason for this. We were discussing earlier whether it was possible to conceive that the Spartans, in a no-confidence vote, would vote against their own government or abstain. And I think a second referendum is one of the few things that you could be almost certain would drive some of them over the edge. Yeah. It's become an article of religious faith that you must not have one. Even if some leavers think they might be able to win one, it's too great, in their view, and for what it's worth, I think they're right, a kind of democratic betrayal. And Boris knows that. And that's why he would have been so specific at the One Nation hustings.
And Dan and Paul, while we have you here, do you think Boris Johnson is definitely going to be the next Prime Minister?
Yes.
We've spent this entire podcast without even discussing the prospects of Jeremy Hunt, Sajid Javid, Michael Gove, all the rest of them. Matt Hancock's gone this morning. And I think that's the answer's already been given before Dan's given his yes. And it's almost, you know, I'm hedging my bets because I always do, but it's almost impossible to see how he could be stopped. Even Boris Johnson's probably not capable of stopping Boris Johnson. Right, if he makes a mistake, he'll get up and recover because it's what he usually does.
Thanks, Paul, Dan, Katie. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, through all the usual routes, and we do like hearing from you as well. So do email us at podcast@spectator.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.